Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
A 610 high, show number 1250 from the beautiful studios on the 18th floor overlooking, well, it depends on the window, the beautiful city of Chicago. Happy Monday. And at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Should I start throwing out the Instagram thing?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah.
You should really just tell people, though, to type in Steve Cochran on Instagram.
Yeah, it's a little less
complicated. Instead of giving the handle.
Yeah, it's a little less complicated. You're right.
There's a Cochran kid that'll get
If you can distinguish between Steve Cochran, the WGN radio host, and the child named Steve Cochran.
It's unbelievable.
You're having a good day.
That kid's like, I got so many new followers.
I just couldn't be more offended now that I know. Red Sox won a World Series. Hawks lost last night. I was in the house, Dave, and Edmonton is, they're going to be really good. They're not really good yet, but they're going to be really good. And they were just, they were tough. They were tough.
They
and
are.
Overtime now, I don't know that 3-on-3 works for me in overtime. I think we add guys. I think we go maybe 7-on-7, 8-on-8, 9-on-9, and everybody's wearing goalie gear. Because 3-on-3, that's a lot of ice. There was a Disney on Ice show going in the corner. That's how much ice they had.
There's a lot of space out there. But so, that's what makes it exciting.
But it always ends in like 2 minutes.
This year, more than even I think the last couple of years since they went to this format, I think you're
quickies.
Right. Yep.
Just quickies. Leave the money on the dresser, quickies. That's what I'm talking about. Dr. Mo's coming up. Ryan Noble's coming up. Dan Hampton coming up. I don't know if you heard the Bears one. A Chicago Accent Challenge later. And Ro Khan is doing a special Monday appearance on the show, which is extremely thrilling for us. So that'll be on the way as well. Possible text question coming up as well. But why don't we start with the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Relatively speaking, a brand new airplane, and I think it had 800 flight hours on it, and with no mechanical history whatsoever, in a Lion Air flight, so it's a budget airline flying out of Southeast Asia, carrying 189 people, has crashed into the sea off the coast of Jakarta, and as of now, six bodies have been recovered. They're not expecting to recover anyone alive. The plane had taken off, and just minutes later, on a flight that was about an hour and a half long, went down. There was time for the pilot to request permission to return to the airport, and apparently, at least for what we know now, nothing beyond that. Clear skies, no weather. So the two things they're focusing on are mechanical and possibly criminal. But at this point, no answers. And just, it's a horrible story.
I heard that they said that the executives from Boeing here, you know, were headed over there. And I thought, that's got to be terrible to try to go to a disaster that so takes you so long to get to.
Yeah.
You know, when you, because all you're
doing
is thinking.
Yeah. Next. Boston Red Sox won the World Series last night. Let's go live to Dave in Los Angeles, where the Red Sox are still celebrating on the field. Dave.
Well, here in Los Angeles, Steve, the Red Sox got two home runs from Steve Pierce. He was the World Series MVP. David Price.
Steve Pierce. Should we know Steve Pierce? Is he a household name?
He's hardly a household name, but he's one of these guys.
Isn't it funny how these people pop up?
Yeah, it's baseball. You know, he's a journeyman, really, and yet he had, three home runs the last 11 innings of the World Series.
That?
And David Price, who
bad beard. Great pitcher.
Yeah.
Pitched
great in the series. And, you know, here are the Dodgers for the second year in a row losing the World Series at home. Last year to Houston, this year to Boston.
Watch now, the other teams celebrate on your field.
It's that's just got to be to do, and to have it happen twice. And Clayton Kershaw, who's been one of the top two or three pitchers of his generation, and now he still has never won a World Series, and he may have pitched his last game for the Dodgers last night because he can opt out. So. They could look a lot different next year. By the way, the early odds are out on the 2019 Major League season.
Let's go to the gambling. What are the early odds?
let's talk gambling. The Red Sox and Astros are both the co-favorites at 6-1. The Yankees and Dodgers 7-1. The Cubs are 10-1. Along with the Cleveland Indians and the up-and-coming Phillies.
That Cubs bet. Pretty good bet, 10-1.
Yeah.
Cubs are going to contend.
What are the odds on Manny Machado coming to the South Side? That's the big watch. Now, Machado watch starts for... A lot of people say he's bound to New York for the Yankees, but the White Sox have been rumored to be a destination. Lots of money.
I heard over the weekends of people saying, do you really want a guy like that? Yeah, you do. Yeah I don't care if he's a jerk. That's up for the club to fix that.
They're all jerks.
He's good. Well, I'll tell you. No, they're not all jerks, but he's going to have a lot of options.
I had asked Super Joe because, you know, he's a White Sox fan, and Chris Sale had a good game. If he's able to... Enjoy, be happy for Chris Sale, and based on Justin's reaction as well, it was quite similar to Super Joe's. They don't have love for a former teammate on the...
Well, Sale, for White Sox fans, Sale had that vibe that he'd want to play here. And he started to do that by cutting up jerseys and acting all petulant.
Yeah, he had to go.
And he didn't want to play in Chicago, so you got this vibe that he was destined for different markets, so he's not our guy.
Yeah, and there's no question he's a good pitcher.
Mine was more because I don't like Boston or any of their teams there. So
it's a nice city.
No.
Have you been to Boston?
Oh, yeah, twice.
What didn't you like about it?
The people.
and all the championship banners.
Yeah. The streets.
Clayton Kershaw, 1-4 in closeout games. You know, there's a guy named Dave Winfield. It was one of the great regular season hitters of all time, who was a horrible postseason player. Alex Rodriguez, you know, steroids or not, one of the greats of all time, horrible postseason player. Some guys can't get it done in big games. Now, Clayton Kershaw has got time to fix that, but certainly hasn't delivered so far.
Yeah, well, you would think he's got time. The question is he going to stay in L.A.? And if he does go somewhere else, is he going to go somewhere where... They're going to have a chance.
Well, is he 30?
He's just past 30.
31, 32?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you figure he's got three prime pitching years left. A guy like that, I'd take less money to go to a contender. I don't think I'd go to the Florida Marlins.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think you would do that.
Florida Marlins don't have any money anyway. Next! There's nothing you can say about this Pittsburgh story other than it's absolutely hideous. Robert Bowers is the guy who walks into a synagogue in Pittsburgh. In one of the prominent Jewish neighborhoods in Pittsburgh, and says all Jews must die and opens fire. 11 people were killed in the shooting. Unfortunately, he wasn't one of them. 4 police officers were wounded. EMTs, who were trying to keep him alive on the way to the hospital and did, had to listen to him rant about all Jews must die in the ambulance, according to multiple reports. This is just a lunatic, a horrible human being, and this comes a day after the bomber was caught, the mail bomber, and we'll have more to talk about with that later on as well. But take a deep breath, America. We can fix this, but we better get on it soon. Next. Vice President Joe Biden going to be in the suburbs on Wednesday, and he's going to be campaigning for Democratic congressional candidate Lauren Underwood. So Western Burbs, Naperville, Downers, in that area, I assume? I don't know the complete Lauren Underwood district, but it's Western Burbs.
Well, she's running against Randy Hultgren, so...
That's the 6-3-0.
Yeah.
That's your 6-3-0 situation.
6-3-0.
Next. Angela Merkel could be in trouble in Germany again. She is going to give up the leadership of her particular party to focus on the job at hand, which is running Germany. And unlike other countries where you can just go, I don't like this government so much, let's do a new one. We don't do that here, unfortunately, at this point. And Angela Merkel is trying to reestablish a foundation there. So, can we find some good news this morning? Let's do this. Time Out Chicago has released their top 16 pizzas in Chicago. I'll tell you now, number one won't surprise you necessarily, but let's go quickly here. 16, Bella Pacino's. You know Bella Pacino?
I don't know that one.
Send a loop. Number 15, Reno in Logan Square.
Yes, that's a good place.
Okay. Number 14, Bonchi Pizzeria.
Yes, I just had Bonchi on Saturday, Friday.
One of your favorites?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. 13, Roots Handmade Pizza, yeah. East Village. I've had Roots.
It's good.
Yeah. Lou Malnati's at number 12. Well, of course, on this show, it's number one because we give away Lou Malnati's all day. Number 11.
Tony Romo was talking about Lou Malnati's in the game.
Yeah, he gave him a plug. He said it's his favorite.
You have such a crush on Tony Romo.
I love Tony Romo.
Number 11, Chicago Pizza and Oven Grinder in Lincoln Park.
That place has been there forever.
Ever. I used to go there in high school.
You guys like it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just checked. There's a 45-minute wait to get in there right now.
Is that right? Number 10, Spacca Napoli in Uptown.
That's a great place, right by Ravenswood.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fancy pizzas.
It is fancy.
It is fancy. Yeah.
I went in there one time, and I'm like, do you have any... I tried to make a joke about what
cheese?
Kind of pizza I could get, and they did not laugh.
Can I just get a cheese?
Well, you're doing shtick all over.
I was doing...
The voting day.
It was such a good
pizza
it was
joints.
Such a good shtick. I thought it was a great joke, and they were like, we don't do that kind of pizza here. I'm like, oh, I know. I was just making a joke.
Could I get a large snobby?
Yeah.
Number 9, pizza, Peace, I should say. Peace in Wicker Park.
That's a good place.
Number 8, Pauly G's in Logan Square.
Yeah, that's Detroit-style pizza.
What is Detroit style?
It's like
pizza?
Jets pizza, like a
like
little
a square.
You can get it either way, but yeah, it's square and a little bit. It's kind of like a deep dish Chicago
pizza.
Like focaccia bread, kind of a little bit like
focaccia. Doughy.
Yeah, it's good.
It's really good. Yeah, Pauly G's is great.
Number 7, Marie's Pizza and Liquors in Albany Park.
I love that pizza. Mm-hmm.
How are the liquors?
The liquors are good too. Mm-hmm. They go hand in hand.
Number 6, Coal Fire in River West. That's catching on.
That place is great. That's my neighborhood spot. I love those guys. And I'll give you a real quick story. That was the place that we ate the night that Julie went into labor for Miles.
So you're saying it causes labor?
No, it was for my dad's birthday. His day is a day before Miles was born. So we went there and we had a great time. So it's fun because we went back there 10 years later with Miles in tow for a... anniversary dinner, and they were very nice to us.
Well, you should tell people, though, that if you're overdue...
Yeah, go there.
go get there.
Number 5, The Art of Pizza in Lakeview. Number 4, Burt's Place in Morton Grove.
Yeah.
That's the original.
It's an interesting place. It's good pizza, though.
Why is it interesting?
There's, like, carpeting on the walls.
There's a connection. Burt's Place in Morton Grove is connected to Pequod's in Lincoln Park. There's a connection. I forgot what the connection is.
Funny you mentioned Pequod's. Number 3, Pizzeria Bibu in River North. Mm-hmm. 2 is Pequod's. And number 1, Vito and Nick's.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, buddy.
There's your top pizzas. It's 6:22. Thanks for putting the pizza item in the top 6 at 6. We needed a palate cleanser for sure. let's come back and continue.
What do you like better, Christmas or wedding season?
Mr. Gray.
The answer would be... wedding season?
Bingo.
When Audrey stays the night, she sleeps outside the door. 'Cause I'm Jake, Mike Jacobson, millennial catch if ever was one. That's right.
This was multiple old producer weekend. I was texting with Rick O'Connor, lifetime Red Sox fan, yesterday to congratulate him. He and his son Jake were watching the game together the way a father and son should, or a father and daughter, that fits. In that case, it was Jake and Rick, and they were watching the World Series end together. And Jake, of course, by blood, is a Red Sox fan, so congratulations. Meanwhile, former producer Mike Jacobson married lovely Audrey this weekend, and there was only one person on the show in attendance. Who was that?
That would be me, Steve.
Yes, how was the wedding?
The wedding was very nice, and I had forgotten Mark Carman was also at the wedding because he is the one that got Mike back to Chicago job-wise. So,
and Mike Jacobson working for Northwestern now.
Yeah, Northwestern.
He's, he does most of the curriculum for the classes.
Was Carm's girlfriend there, too?
No, she was not. So uh-oh. Mark and I were together. So it's funny. We had to do all the... We kind of by naturally ended up being a couple, even though we're not a couple. And so people at the table that didn't know us... Well, this is Mary and Mark. I felt like we should have explained to people we are not together, but we are together. We had to do the photo booth together.
It takes too much work.
Yeah, it did. So it was very nice. They were very happy. And I know most...
Like happy buzzed or just happy?
No,
happy?
The couple was very...
Oh, good. Well,
they really
be.
Like each other, which is nice to see. Sometimes like people look exhausted by the time the reception rolls around or whatever, but it was really nice. It was at the Art Institute. Audrey's parents, the Spicers, which is her mom and stepdad, and then her dad and stepmom. I screamed really loud when the stepmom got introduced because I'm a stepmom, so I give extra shout-outs to them.
And word then, up for the stepmoms.
And then Bob and Sandy Jacobson, Mike's parents, were all, they put on the most lovely event. So
nice. And they're all sweet. They're all GN fans, huh?
They are GN people.
Well,
I will say Bob Jacobson says the smartest person on our station is David Hochberg.
Mm-hmm.
He said
that's Mike's dad?
Yeah, Mike's dad.
Yeah, Mike's dad's not a big fan of mine, I don't think, because he's a drum supporter.
Well, but he loves David Hochberg.
That's what Mike used to tell me.
But there is a photo gallery and a video up at WGMradio.com if you want to see the cute couple. And I was sending Mary pictures because I know Mary's into weddings.
Oh, yeah.
And she could tell from a very far away photo that the cake was Green Bay Packer colors.
How could you not? With that
she's
green
like, is
and
that
gold.
A Packers cake?
Is Audrey a Wisconsin girl?
She is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I remember that controversy always.
So, anyway, they were very sweet.
Well, the happy life, right? Congratulations
to them.
She
looked beautiful.
She did look really pretty.
I want to ask, did you dance with Carmen?
I did not dance with him.
Oh.
Did Carmen dance?
He did not dance. Neither of us danced.
He's a dancer.
He was
in the dancing. Yeah.
You're kidding. Yes, I made him do it that one year.
You know,
maybe I was the buzzkill on the dance part, so...
You look at him and the fake couple that you were, and you go, I'm not dancing with you tonight either.
Dancing. They put us right next to the bar, which is a very nice location in the room, and they gave us a really pretty bottle opener.
So the big question is, did you get drunk and make a toast?
I did.
That's
not.
Right. That was the threat on Friday.
Yeah, you were going to do that.
I know. So, you know, I was looking for the microphone, but the DJ guy, he had like his hands gripped on it really tight.
Oh, they never let go of their microphones.
Yeah. And he announced himself as the master of ceremonies once the lights went down, and I didn't feel like getting in a fight.
Let me tell you something. The last DJ gig I had, I believe, was 1984 or 1985. I doubt the rules have changed since then. You can't just let any Tom foolery go on.
Yeah, I think it's,
you know, once you give the mic to a drunken woman like you,
that's instructed by the wedding planners and the couple, do not let the drunks.
Well, it's either a DJ manual.
Yeah,
a party DJ manual.
And they did have late night bites, which I know bothers you, Steve. And they were Chicago style hot dogs, no ketchup, no ketchup.
I can't believe you stayed late.
Well, I was leaving when those were.
You couldn't get
Uber with Carmen.
I did. We actually Ubered back to the same place.
That's hilarious.
And you know what? I called the Uber.
What an interesting question that detail would matter.
I called the Uber and he didn't offer me any money. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And a quick hello to Jack Hicks. Look what I'm holding in my hand. This is an actual letter. I've been carrying this around for a week or so now.
How do you get those?
Apparently, people send them to you through something called the Postal Service. This is the good mail, by the way. Jack Hicks worked in Minneapolis when I was there for the late 80s and early 90s. And he's a voice artist now. And he started a podcast as well, because that's the law. We all have to do podcasts. I don't know if you're aware of that. And on the podcast, he told the story of me meeting my mom. Now, for those of you who don't know, I don't have time to tell a story here, but that's my birth mom. My adoptive parents both passed in the 90s. And I have a lovely relationship with my lovely mother here in Chicago, where she happens to live, and my sisters, and, you know, all that. And I'll tell the story again someday. Anyway, he told the story on a podcast, and he wrote me a letter to ask if that was okay. Yeah, Jack, it's fine. So anyway, best to Jack Hicks in Bemidji, Minnesota, listening.
The best thing you can do for any podcast is tell somebody else's story.
Listen, good material comes to a lot of places. Right, make a note of it. At 6:32, we're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. You know, one of the honors of doing this show over the years is some of my best friends in life have come from the connections I've made on the show. And Dr. Kevin Most is one of them, and I've had a chance to meet the entire Most family and spend time with them. And, of course, the most famous Most, which would be, Kev, Jerry.
Yeah, probably Jerry.
Yeah. Jerry's how old now?
Jerry's in, 6 years old. He's in first grade.
So Jerry and his dad, David, were, I think David's a season ticket holder for the Blackhawks, isn't he?
David is a season ticket holder, yep.
So David was there with his little guy, Jerry, last night. Yeah. And all I kept saying, texting to me over and over again, was Jerry with famous people. Jerry got pictures with everybody. And why not? He's a cute kid and he's a great kid.
Right.
One of the pictures that Doc Most sent to me was Jerry with Adam Burrish. And I couldn't help but notice Jerry is wearing a Blackhawks sweatshirt, but an Edmonton Oilers hat.
Ooh.
So
I didn't notice that.
He's got both ends covered. I didn't know
that. Yeah, he's an Oilers fan. He knows they're up and coming. Is that what it is?
Yeah. He follows it pretty well. He's pretty amazing for a little guy.
Well, you're gonna have to have a talk with that young man. I will buy the hat. I'll buy the one off his head, and I'll buy him a new one. All right, we got a lot to cover here. Since we're talking about kids, let's start with Halloween. What do you want to tell people?
Well, yeah, Steve, you remember when we were little kids, you know, you and I, Dave, were talking about that. We didn't even think about safety in Halloween.
No.
You always hear about an unfortunate incident that happens during Halloween. So it's just kind of a, hey, you guys, it's a couple days away. Let's try to be safe. Let's try to make our home safe. Let's try to make our kids as safe and make it a great fun day for them.
You want a lighted entrance coming into the house in some form. You know, you want your spooky decorations to be seen, but you don't want a lawsuit because somebody fell on the way in. You know, also, you obviously don't want anybody hurt. One of the things I saw in your notes is about flammable costumes. I thought that was something that we put behind when you and I grew up because most kids now are getting the safe stuff.
Yeah, most of the safe stuff, most of the stuff you can buy right now has to be at least fire retardant or fire resistant, flame resistant. But then again, that's the purchased items that you're, the costumes that you're buying. But if you're putting your kid into a costume that you're making at home, be very aware of it, because now we're seeing kids with these very elaborate costumes that parents are making, you know, or they're making at a site or someplace. But we know that we have, unfortunately, people have pumpkins with candles, and we have candles on our porches sometime, and you want to make sure that that doesn't happen to a child.
I'll tell you a sweet story from the wild 70s, running around with my cousins, and one of my cousins took a cigarette lighter from his mom and thought it would be funny to light his brother's cape on fire.
Oh.
It caught fire.
Yeah,
quite quickly. We ripped it off, and it was fine. He didn't get hurt, and I just remember his excuse. He looked at me, and he went, boy, I didn't know it'd do that. Trust me, your kids, my kids, our kids, and us, we're all idiots when we're kids. So, yeah, you got to have these safety talks with them. What about the candy stuff itself? You got to be careful about stuff with nuts and all the things we didn't have to worry about?
Yeah, you really do. You know, obviously, any child who has any allergies, you certainly want to make sure that the child's basket of treats is looked at before. And really, just out of a safety measure for parents, you know, just inspect all the stuff. Unfortunately, we have individuals out there who don't like this holiday, and you just want to make sure that your child didn't get exposed to one of them.
So be careful and make sure the kids are asleep before you eat their candy.
Well, you know, the other thing, Steve, is it gets dark so early now, and trick-or-treating often goes to like 8 o'clock at night. So, you know, something as simple as a reflective tape on their costume, which you really won't notice, but I'll tell you, it really makes them pop. And you can see them in car headlights, and you can make sure that you see them in house lights as well.
Right. I'm telling them not to zigzag across the street.
Right.
Or you know, I'm telling you, I drive in my neighborhood a mile and a half an hour until I get to the driveway, because kids are running all over the place.
Doc, is there any advice for us who, when teenagers come to the door after the allotted time for trick-or-treating, like at 9 o'clock, and you've already shut off the light? Any
how do you get rid of them?
Do you give them candy? Do you teach them life lessons? And it's a sticky wicket right there.
That is a sticky wicket. And sometimes I feel like if you have candy left, it's probably better to give it to them than to clean off the eggs or whatever you might have to do later.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had a broccoli in their bag, and you follow them to the curb.
Oh, that,
Yeah.
So, we come back and want to talk about Alzheimer's. There's an amazing, I don't know if it would be a coincidence, but a study that's out that ties into the All of Us push that Doc has had before, which I want to mention again. But this looks like it could be a significant breakthrough in Alzheimer's. Let's get to that after this. Back with Dr. Kevin Mills. Doc, I don't know if you watched a Bears game yesterday, but Jim Nance and the CBS crew got obsessed with the family in Care Bears outfits at the game. And we got to find those people. So if you know the Care Bears family from the Bears game yesterday, call us 312-981-7200 or text us. Or if you're one of the Care Bears and you're listening, we'd certainly like to know.
Ooh, the Care Bears song. They were so cute.
That's one of Dr. Mills' favorites. Be afraid when clouds are brewing in your heart. Dream, just send a wish out in the dark. Hey, Doc, put that on the list of things we missed.
Yeah, yep.
So, and
Romo was a little sexist in his remarks there, where he's like, oh, look, you know, the woman, she made him dress like that, now he's on TV. And I was like, how do you know he didn't come up with the idea for that?
Yeah. What's your answer to that?
Don't be bashing.
What's your answer to that, Mrs. Romo?
Yeah, Justin's overthinking.
We got a conflict in this. Not a Romo guy.
And, Doc, I want to say hi to Steve Shapiro and son, because Ross Cochran and father were at the game with those guys last night. And Shapiro's a great buddy as well from Apt Electronics.
Yeah.
And I always feel better when I'm talking to Ross. He straightens me out on a lot of things.
So. That explains a good mood this morning. Thank you, Ross. Thank you,
on a Monday,
Ross.
Right?
Yep.
That could change. All right, let's talk about Alzheimer's. This is really an amazing twist. First off, this came from Taiwan.
Yeah. How about that?
So is Taiwan known for their medical records-keeping and breakthroughs?
You know, it's interesting. We don't think of them as this medical hotbed of research. But what's fascinating in Taiwan is in order for you to get national health insurance, you have to be in their pool of data. So they have 99.9% of the individual citizens of Taiwan are in their database. So they have more data than any other country around right now, to be honest with you. And now they're starting to use it and mine it and use it appropriately to find out interesting facts about diseases that could lead to some unbelievable breakthroughs.
And one of the things that's come through on this is because, we've known for a long time that plaque in the brain causes Alzheimer's. We don't know what causes necessarily the plaque in the brain. And it's likely it comes from several sources. But what's the connection to cold sores?
Yeah. So cold sores are caused by a virus called herpes simplex virus 1. And it's a virus that we can get exposed to when we're kids, and it just kind of hangs out in our body. And it comes out every so often when we're under stress, we've had a lot of hard times, something has gone on, and you get the cold sore. People that have had it, they know exactly what it is. They feel that tingling, and the next thing you know, the cold sore is there. What they found in Taiwan is that a large portion of these individuals who had a gene variant plus the cold sores, as they aged, if they didn't have those cold sores treated, they were 2.5 times more likely to end up with Alzheimer's.
Wow. The takeaway for this study and this research really has to do with the fact that Taiwan has a bank to be able to track everybody in their country. Do you see that as a possible thing for the United States to do or other Western world countries when it comes to trying to figure out some of the big diseases we have?
You know, Justin, you hit it right on the head. We always talk about big data and how important it is. You think about the individual with a cold sore. No one's going to make that association with that individual cold sore and Alzheimer's later in life. But when you get all this data together, it does. The United States is so far behind on it, but there's a big push right now for a group called All of Us. And it's NIH-funded. They want to get millions of people in this database. And here in Chicago, Northwestern is one of the backers. Rush is one of the backers. So what we're asking people to do is go to allofus.nih.gov.
And
sign up, exactly, and give them part of your DNA. Who cares about Big Brother watching over you and looking at you? This is to help the generations in the future to find out things like this. What if we find that giving a herpes simplex vaccine could knock out 40 or 50% of the cases of Alzheimer's?
Incredible. Now, I don't want to leave this without telling people who woke up this morning with a cold sore or dealing with one that they shouldn't go into a 5-alarm panic. So what do you want to say to them?
Yeah, two things to them. One is this is following patients who are older. So this is looking at patients who are older. When we find out that that the virus just doesn't go to the lip, it also goes into the brain. But probably the biggest thing here is that those that are treated have a big decrease in the number. So it stops that virus from getting into the brain, and they actually see a protective side from Alzheimer's. So those of you who have cold sores, talk to your doctor. I can tell you I've had cold sores before. My doctor, Pat Town, makes sure that I always have the acyclovir at home. So when I start to feel that tingling sensation, I take it, and I can shorten the duration and actually eliminate it sometimes.
So is more aggressive treatment of cold sores coming?
Exactly. More aggressive, and I would not be surprised right now if you start to see people looking at vaccines for this.
But once again, cold sores and canker sores, not the same thing, right?
Not the same.
I get the canker sores all the time.
Absolutely. And we have no idea what causes canker sores because by the time we study it, all we see is the dead tissue in the sores that are on the inside of the mouth.
Right.
Cold sores are on the lips. So
they're caused by different things. Is there any chance canker sores cause negativity? I'm just throwing it out there.
Hey.
I don't know at all. What? Doc, we will hit the appendicitis question that you also were nice enough to include in your notes this week. Next week when we do this.
You got it. Sounds great, you guys. Take care.
Bye to Jerry. Man.
Hey, I'm coming down to give Andrea her shot tonight, too. So how about that?
Take a picture.
Oh, boy. If you haven't listened to Andrea and Patty and Patty and Andrea yet, there could be a full 5-alarm panic on that show tonight.
Great.
So support Doc listening. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Man named Hamp. on the Bears win yesterday and the Care Bears search, because I know he's been up all night thinking about that as well. We'll get to that coming up. News next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Sunday, Sunday, good.
Second and goal. Howard again. Howard's across for the touchdown. Madam Rowe.
Dan Heron. Anchors a young Bears defense.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7-12, a win. Hamp has beat that into our heads regularly, but it doesn't mean a little instructive criticism wouldn't be out of order as well. And I was listening to the instructive criticism show yesterday from, I think I caught all 90 minutes of it, and you guys didn't miss a beat, and I agree with everything you said. The only thing you didn't cover were the Care Bears.
You know, those are the games that I don't want to say everybody feels a little cheated, because when you come off of a game where you're playing against Tom Brady, you know, essentially the greatest quarterback of all time, a week prior, and there's actually, you know, credibility on the line, and then, you know, things don't work out, and then the next week, there's no speeches, there's no parade, nobody gets you excited about playing against the miserable New York Jets. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you just got to put your boots on, go out there and get it done, and then move on. And now we've got another game just like it. We got the Buffalo Bills this coming week, which, Steve, I'm sure you've always looked forward to going to Western New York in November, right?
Having spent some time in Buffalo, no. By the way, I think I predicted 21-9 on Friday. The final was 24-10. So, once again, Nostradamus comes through.
Nailed it.
Except for all the ones I've gotten wrong. This segment brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Dave.
What do you take from the defensive performance, Hamp? Because, obviously, the Jets don't have a lot going for them, and they got a rookie quarterback, and they just aren't a very good team. But the Bears are playing without their best player in Khalil Mack, and they still were able to more than handle this team defensively.
Well, the two things that I really were looking for was, you know, total team tackling, which we did a pretty good job of. We never let their run again get, you know, to materialize, but sooner or later, you know, when Khalil Mack is not in the game, then, okay, who's your pass rusher? Somebody has to be able to slash. Somebody has to be able to put a clock in the quarterback's head. We never had anybody step up. Of course, Leonard Floyd is the guy that you're looking for. But, you know, it Fitz is in there quite a bit. Aaron Lynch was given, you know, a lot of opportunity, but nobody really, really showed, hey, we can beat people one-on-one and put pressure on the quarterback. And again, that's not a great offensive line, and it's not a great quarterback. So you would think, hey, we would have had 3, 4, 5 sacks. We would have had 8 pressures. We had very little. And so that does not bode well for the defense. As you said, We did what we're supposed to do, keep them to 10 points, but there's a lot of parts of the puzzle that didn't show up yesterday.
Yeah, Dan, on the offensive side of the ball, Trubisky gave us another Jekyll and Hyde performance. It's surprising to see the numbers flashed on the screen. You know, he's the biggest quarterback since Sid Luckman. The numbers don't lie when you look at him being one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. But what we see on the field as Chicago Bears fans is an inaccurate quarterback who misses open spots. Is that a concern for you that he's this inaccurate, or is this growing pains as usual?
Well, the great Ed Obradovich always says, you know, you can teach a lot of things to a quarterback. You can't teach accuracy. And unfortunately, there's large, you know, stretches of NFL games where the guy looks like he has no clue about how to get the ball to the receiver in a proper delivery. We have basically seen the evolution of this offense that has certain attributes, and on occasion it can get, you know, quite exotic with a lot of the trickery. But on a bunch of these wheel routes where the back's running out of the backfield, just kind of going around the corner, You can't throw the ball behind him. You got to throw it to him in front, in stride. You've got to be able to hit receivers, you know, lead them like a, you know, like the real quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers do. It's maddening that he goes through, you know, a first half like we saw yesterday. To his credit, after the Jets cut it to 7 points by scoring a touchdown in the third quarter, the offense puts together their best drive of the last couple of weeks, and I think it was an 8-play, 79-yard beauty where Trubisky actually threw the ball very well. But it can't be a one-drive-a-game thing. It can't be a one-quarter-a-game thing. He's got to get more accurate. And obviously the coach is trying to stand behind him and say, oh, well, you guys aren't looking at it like I am. I'm looking at, you know, hey, he has to throw the ball, shape the outsides because we don't want to. Well, all that's gobbledygook. You know what looks like a great pass. I know what looks like one. So do the receivers, and they're the ones that ultimately need to benefit from it.
Hamp, real quick, if Kyle Long is out for an extended period and it didn't look good.
Yeah, do we know yet what's happening?
Not yet. How big a setback is that?
He's the best offensive lineman we got. He's the enforcer. He's the heart and soul of what we're trying to do with the running game. Look, James Daniels is going to come in real handy somewhere, whether it's now going to be starting a left guard, when they move Cush to the right side, Bradley Sowell may be the guy they ask to come in and start at right guard if Kyle is indeed going to be out for a while. But it looked bad to me. When you can't put any weight, little Dan said, hey, did anybody ever have to help you off and carry you off the field like that? And I'm thinking to myself, no. You know, and I was hurt a lot. I mean, when you can't put weight on it, that's a bad sign. So it'll all shake out. But I'll tell you this, James Daniels is going to pay a lot of dividends, and he's getting better by the week.
I saw Shay Pepler. I think she's with Fox. She had Instagrammed that when she saw Kyle Long, his ankle was like the size of a tennis ball.
You mean the wound side?
Yeah.
It's swelled up real good. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. I want to play a quick clip from yesterday's show. Super Joe, fire up a little something from Hampo B and Cuz.
He's missing another chip shot field goal. What's going on with this guy? If they start all this nonsense about inclement weather, I'm looking out the window. There's a bunch of people riding around on boats out here in the river. So, save it.
Once again, instructive criticism to make all of us better, Hamp, OB, and Cuz. That's all. Well done by you.
Yeah, but, you know, Steve, life is about perspective. You've just got to keep your perspective.
That's exactly right. We will detail Buffalo and the Bears on Friday, but it sounded like Christmas morning when OB looked at the schedule and just started giggling. And the thank you, schedule makers. Here comes Buffalo. Yeah, have fun in Buffalo, boys. I will not be there, but we will talk about this later in the week. And on Wednesday, our friends at Chevy are going to tell us who won that truck, Hamp.
Nice.
Well, I can't wait for that. And guess what? Overnight, poof, we are in first place again. Yeah, so poof. Life's good. Let's have a great week. Go Bears.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Brought to you by Chevy.
So upbeat.
DriveChicago.
It's a great Monday.
.com.
Yeah, my son was at the game yesterday. They kept saying inclement weather. I was texting him, aren't you freezing? Are you getting poured on? He said, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're
inclement weather now?
About.
We'll give it a month.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Sandwiches are beautiful. Sandwiches are fine. I like sandwiches. I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches, I'd eat them all at once.
That's Hamp and Cuz and OB singing yesterday in the conference room. This is an amazing story. Our most valuable person on the planet for Monday, October 29th, is Jason Voss, manager of Jimmy John's in Columbus, Nebraska. When a Nebraska military veteran needed to go to the hospital and couldn't find a ride, his sister called a social worker. Oh, well, actually, she didn't. She got a wrong number and ended up reaching Jimmy John's, whose employees jumped to the need and to the rescue. Jason Voss said she just started going off about how she was in Florida and she needed help because her brother was a veteran and had recently had surgery and was having complications. He said he was in a lot of pain. He's having the same issues he had in the morning, but he couldn't find a ride to the hospital. Now, I didn't know this, because what's your inclination when I say that sentence? Isn't it call an ambulance?
Yeah, right.
But the sister said he can't call 911 without approval from the Veterans Administration. I don't know anything about that. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know.
If it's a misunderstanding, it ought to be cleared up pretty quickly. So anyway, she tried to call a social worker to get her brother help because she's a good sister and she was worried. I don't even know if it was me who wrote the number down wrong or if I misdialed it when I was trying to dial him, she said. Rather than say she had the wrong number and hang up, Voss did something amazing. Jason Voss, the manager at Jimmy John's, found someone who could take care of this problem and had him call her back. Somebody needs help. I guess it was just convenient. I work somewhere. We have drivers. The person Voss turned to for help was a fellow employee named Zach Hilmer. And you could tell she was worried about her brother. Zach Hilmer explained the wrong number situation. Hilmer immediately hopped in his car, picked up the man, and drove him 9 miles to the hospital.
Amazing.
I mean, may have saved his life.
That's great. That is. That's right up. That's most valuable person on the planet right there.
Freaky fast. Getting it done. So congratulations, Jason Voss and your whole team.
There you go.
Columbus, Nebraska's Jimmy John's saving that guy, a military vet, in a lot of pain.
It's very considerate. And, you know, sometimes when you're at work, you're locked into what you're doing and things. And so you may not even realize that you had an opportunity to help somebody when you get that call. You
right.
know, so it's really speaks to that kind of person that.
And we need good news today.
773 says it's true. The VA won't pay unless it's a life-threatening emergency. You have to go to the VA.
Oh, okay.
So if 911, if it's life-threatening, they'll take. But if it's just complications from a surgery, pain,
you have to find a ride.
You got to get to the VA.
That's not a good system.
No.
At 7:28, Sandberg, Justin was telling me something off the air that I think you need to answer to. Apparently, you're putting up celebrity pictures of you all over town.
I am not putting them up myself. There's a restaurant by our house that Justin went to this weekend.
Yes.
That my picture does happen to be up at that restaurant, along with my husband and some other people in the photo.
It was famous, bad boy.
It was awesome because we went to the Botanic Gardens the night of the jack-o'-lanterns.
Okay.
It was amazing. Thank you to the Botanic Gardens for a wonderful event. But we didn't want to. It was packed, the cafe, so we went to this restaurant that was nearby, Hole in the Wall, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I got to show my neighbors. I took my neighbors went with us to the Botanic Gardens, and I said, "Oh, right here, this is a friend of mine. This is the producer of the show. Take a look. She's on the wall. She's a celebrity." I quickly text everybody from the show, being like, "Look who's on the wall!
Look who's on the wall!
Look who's on
look
the wall!
Look who's on the big wall!" Did they ask to have your picture?
They did not.
Though you did take a picture of Frank. Frank is the owner. Frank with Justin.
Yeah. I took a picture with Frank Miles. With Miles. Yeah. And then and the best part, when we were at the Botanic Gardens, the woman who runs that event, Jody, she said, "I'm a listener of the Steve Cochran Show. I love Steve. And I don't care what you think of what you just saw. I just want to know what Miles thinks, since he does
wow.
the reviews." And I'm like, "Well, let me introduce you."
That is a listener.
And then Miles went ad nauseum about the pumpkins. And I was like, "All right."
Oh, no,
it was
no.
just a bit.
At know, his age, it's not ad nauseum. It's cool.
"Ooh, the pumpkins were so nice. It's so interesting." All right. Somewhat recommended. Move on.
I can't believe you're live editing your son.
Somewhat recommended also. I like that review.
Headlines coming up in just a second. By the way, I mentioned I was at the Hawks game last night. Dave, I want to say thank you to the great Jay Blunk and Molly Connolly, who really, as you know, runs that organization.
Yeah, no there, question about it.
Who was took very nice care of Steve Shapiro from Apt and me and our sons. Though I think Ross may have done some shoplifting, so I'm going to have to check and maybe get that stuff turned back.
I doubt that, knowing Ross.
I don't know. He looks shifty to me.
There's a picture of the four of you up on your Instagram right now, so people can see you guys at the game.
I was going to do an Instagram story, but then I forgot how. It's 7:31. Let's come back to the headlines next on 720 WGN.
If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. That's what Election Day is all about. And the biggest gun we got is called the ballot box. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Okay, I just want to let everybody know you've angered Willie Nelson now. That's new from Willie Nelson. It's called Vote Them Out. And Willie is jumping in as well ahead of Election Day next week. We got a lot to talk about related to voting, which we will get to before 10 o'clock. But as bringing my friend Ryan Nobles from CNN here. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Steve. Good morning. Happy Monday.
And to you. You know, a fire doesn't generally get started without an arsonist if it's an arson fire. And, yeah, Donald Trump did not shoot up a synagogue himself, and he didn't send mail bombs, but he's absolutely culpable because he has endorsed and supported crazy behavior and given crazy people with a penchant for violence some sort of authorization, tacit though it may be, to go out and do what they've done.
Well, you know, that's not my place to make that assessment.
No, I've already done it for you.
No, I know. But I mean, I do think the thing that concerns me the most this morning is the first thing I see when I wake up in my inbox is the president's daily tweet storm and the tweets this morning where it seems to just be all about him. You know, here you have, a dozen people dead in Pittsburgh. You have communities up and down the eastern seaboard that are still in shock because these pipe bombs could have blown up in their neighborhood post office or at their local mail processing plant. And we still don't know all the reasons behind it, and the president seems to be more concerned about whether or not he gets blamed for it instead of trying to find some way to unite the country. And then, of course, wants to put the blame squarely on us in the media.
Well, let me share these tweets. And the fake news is doing everything in their power to blame Republicans, conservatives, and me for the division and hatred in the country. Actually, it's their fake and dishonest reporting which is causing problems far greater than they understand. You know, for the 9 millionth time, how dare the media in this country report what he says? How dare they report his words? How dare they report his actions? Show me the made-up stuff. Show me the stuff that's made up. It's just ridiculous. And if people don't show up to vote next week, I don't know what else you can tell people to do.
Well, the other thing, too, Steve, is even if we... if what he does do sometimes is show his supporters things that are factual reporting and still calls them fake, still says they're right. Not true. And there is a significant portion of the American public that believes him when he says those things. So it's kind of difficult to get into a philosophical or factual argument with someone that doesn't believe the kind of basic principles of truth. And that's, I think, the overwhelming problem with President Trump is that the truth is not something that he considers to be a priority. But that aside, did you wake up kind of dizzy this morning with everything going on in this world? You know, just a couple of, right. A little more than a week before the midterm election, where there's so much at stake. And instead of talking about ways to create unity and to protect Jewish Americans and, strengthen up the mail system so that, to prevent something like this from happening in the future. Instead, he's talking about being worried about being the person that's getting or taking the responsibility and getting the blame. I seem to remember there was a president named Harry Truman who had a sign on his desk that said the buck stops here. I mean, when's the last time President Trump, even if it wasn't his problem, took ownership of it and said, this is my responsibility as President of the United States to bring the country together and take care of this, even if I'm being blamed for it unfairly. That's what a leader does, and that's now what we're seeing President Trump do in this circumstance.
Ryan, the response from both parties, obviously we're a week before the midterm, so it's, obviously it's going to be political in their responses to the president and everything that's happened in the last 72 hours or so. How has the response been from Republicans on Capitol Hill?
This is what I think is interesting about this situation, Justin, is that I don't think that anybody thinks that individually this guy, particularly if we talk about the guy in Florida who was sending the pipe bombs, that, it's because of President Trump that he did what he did. This was a guy
right.
with a mental illness problem, likely with a lot of other issues dealing with it. He happened to be a President Trump supporter.
Well, but I think there's an important distinction to make there. I don't think it's because of President Trump that he specifically did it, but I think he was fired up by President Trump to go down that crazy path.
Well, and that's the point I was going to make. And I think that where President Trump seems to take the wrong path in each one of these situations is, instead of kind of looking at the facts as they exist and then saying as a country we need to deal with those facts, he and his supporters go down all these wild roads. So, if you remember before the guy was arrested for about 3 or 4 days, a lot of the president's most prominent supporters were out there saying that there's a good chance that this was all a Democratic hoax, that this was all put up just to make President Trump look bad. And that, you know, I think that's part of this issue that he has with the truth. Instead of just trying to find out the facts of the situation and then deal with it in the most effective way, he creates all these smoke screens that make the situation even worse to try and escape blame. And you're right, Steve, and Justin, too. You know, we are right before a midterm election. The rhetoric is always going to be a little bit more heated. There's always going to be a little bit more of the blame game, but it's the job of the president to rise above it. And I do think it's hard to ignore the fact that, you know, we had a list last week of all the different times at rallies that he's incited violence in some way, shape, or form. You know, when he said to the guy that was being, the protester that he was being pulled out, that he should be knocked on his ass, or if he's,
right.
You know, when he's mocked a disabled reporter. I mean, there are a litany of times where the president has, you know, you don't have to hear him say it specifically, but you can read between the lines to see what he's implying. And if you're somebody that's right on the edge and you admire someone like that, and that person suggests you do something, you're going to maybe go down that road. And the other point I'd make is there's a lot of professional wrestling in Donald Trump, and I think to him, he kind of sees these rallies, and when he says these things, he's seeing it more kind of in an obtuse way, that this is just for fun. And, you know, I'm just trying to make a heavy emphasis on a point. But he's the president of the United States. And, you know, there are a lot of Americans that follow him because he's president of the United States. And it seems as though he never takes that into account when he makes these wild statements. When he was Donald Trump, the eccentric billionaire, it didn't really matter. But now he's president of the United States, and it matters a lot.
Yeah, and here's the thing. 60% of the country, 55%, I don't care what poll you believe, the majority of this country is against what Trump stands for and how he's operated. Are you going to show up next week? You going to vote? We're giving you all the resources. We continue to bring up all the resources. It's on you if you are tired, and this is not the country that you want, to get out there and vote. You know, I know you get this as well, Ryan. I get people all the time that going, oh, God, let it go. Why do you talk about it all the time? You can't not talk about it. That's exactly how this lunacy wins, when you stop reporting on the fact that the government is so screwed up you can't even identify it.
Hey, Ryan, do you think that you would that there would be more calls for unity from both sides, that there would be more editorials across the board if we weren't a week out from a huge election that may determine who holds power in both the Senate and the House?
No, Justin, you're 100% right. I mean, I think that when there's so much at stake in an election, when you're this close to an election, and it's all anybody is talking about, any kind of current event at all becomes a major political issue. So, yeah, I do agree. I think that perhaps there'd be a lot less of heated rhetoric surrounding all of this if we weren't that close to an election. But the only caveat I'd say to that, Justin, is I remember I always tell the story of around a governor's election in Virginia when I was in Richmond. A group asked me to come speak 2 weeks after the election, and a week leading up to the election, everybody was all excited about it and couldn't wait for it. The election happened, everybody forgot about it, and then nobody showed up to the talk that I gave, because usually right after the election, people forget all about it. It's changed a little bit in the scope of Donald Trump. It feels as though we've been on a roller coaster that started when he announced his election and has never really stopped. So the only difference I would make is that in the era of Trump, the heated political rhetoric, while it's certainly at an all-time high now leading into this midterm election, it's never really slowed down. So I wonder if people might have just still receded to their opposing camps in something like this, even though we wouldn't be that close to an election. But the thing I'll say is, and this is to your point too, Steve, it's not just about politics, and it's not just about government that I think concerns me. It's just like these major things are happening, and we're all so caught up in our own worlds that it's not even that big of a deal. You know, a mass shooting happened over the weekend where a dozen people were dead, and, you know, most of us are just going through our day as if nothing happened. And that's what concerns me, is that things are happening on a regular basis, and I just don't know if the vast majority of Americans, and I don't think it's their fault. I'm not blaming anybody.
No, but you know what? You know, listen, it's nobody's fault in that regard. But here's the thing. You don't get to be numb to it. If you're a grown-up in this country, and you have family and people you love around you, this is the America you love, then do whatever you want to do. this is not the America that I recognize anymore. And it's up to the people to stop it, because shame on the Congress on all facets, including the leadership of the Democrats, who have said nothing. And you know the most amazing thing to me, Ryan, and I'll get off the soapbox here because it's very high and I don't want to fall. Donald Trump has a Jewish daughter, a converted Jewish daughter, a Jewish son-in-law, and Jewish grandchildren. I mean, he can't say anything remotely empathetic about what happened in Pittsburgh, aside from what he read off a teleprompter. It's just, yeah. You know, and again, I'm not surprised, but I'm still outraged by it.
Well, I mean, he did, in his defense, they did post, you know, he put out a statement late the night of the shooting. They, you know, they ordered the flags in Washington to be put at half staff.
But so that's the bare minimum. Of course he should.
I know, but, right, and I do think that what the president sometimes seems to not understand is that his conduct is viewed in totality. So where he gets, I think he gets frustrated with the media a lot of times because he feels like, oh, look at the economy's roaring, and oh, I put out this really empathetic statement. Focus on those two things. I'm going to go over here and tweet some kind of loony other statements that really don't have anything to do with this to try and protect myself, and just ignore that. That's just going to somebody else.
Yeah, see, it wasn't me defense
over here.
Wasn't me.
Yeah, and it's like it doesn't work that way. We got to look at all of it here. You know, you're a complete package here, and everything you do is important.
Yeah, and if you cheat on your wife and you tell your wife you're sorry, it doesn't mean you didn't cheat on your wife. You know, people go, well, at least he's consistent. He's a consistently terrible person. That's why he's talked about. And as long as the news exists, there's going to have to be continued reporting on what he says, his words, and what he does, his actions. Ryan Noble, CNN. Yes, sir. What was it?
I was just going to make one more point about that, Steve. And, you know, it was kind of a weird week for us at CNN because we were got ourselves caught up in the middle of this. And all my bureau colleagues in New York City were among those that had to evacuate. And I haven't met one person at CNN that's like, well, we've got to tamp down our reporting.
Exactly.
If anything,
right.
It's emboldened us. We are, you know, we're not afraid of this. We're going to continue to reporting it. To your point, we're not going to continue to shine a light on that because that's our job, and that's what the job of journalists around the country is, and that's not going to stop.
Have a great week, and stay safe.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
It's Ryan Nobles, and happy Halloween with his 47 children that he has to dress up and candy for.
We have Blackhawk tickets.
Next?
Yeah, so
you
let's
do it next?
This palette of whatever you guys
palette cleanser about. Next with
yeah.
Blackhawk tickets?
Yeah.
We'll do that. Scott Darling coming back to town. Scott Darling is still your netminder, Dave, for Carolina, right?
He's okay. Still with Carolina, I believe.
All right, well, you'll check that. You get your best people on it. In the meantime, tickets for the Blackhawks and the Carolina Hurricanes next Thursday, November 8th.
You know who else is there? Teuvo Teravainen.
Bless you.
It's Teuvo time.
He was good.
Yeah.
Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com. And Roe and Anna give away tickets this afternoon at 4:40. Here's the riddle. Finished in 1920 on the near north side to help people, boats, and cars continue their ride. In 2010, the name would defer to Chicago's first resident and the seller of furs.
I got it.
Do you know it because you have it in front of you, Justin?
No. I don't even have the answer. Oh, I know it because...
Because you know it.
I know it.
Yeah.
I have a reason why I know it.
But if you say that, I'd probably give away the answer, right? Finished in 1920 on the near north side to help people, boats, and cars continue their ride. In 2010, the name would defer to Chicago's first resident and the seller of furs. First correct answer, 312-981-7200.
Andreana furs?
It's not Andreana Furs.
Andreana Furs.
Though I do enjoy Steve singing the jingle.
Just a Scott Darling follow-up.
Yes, is he on the team?
I was hesitant. He is, but he hasn't played yet this year because of an injury.
Sure it's an injury close. Or maybe he's just busy?
No.
He's waiting for
he's been too
game.
Busy to play for the Hurricanes.
He was, but on October 15th, he was at Topgolf hitting shots, and I thought, if you're hurt, what are you doing at Topgolf?
Maybe it's a squatting issue.
Yeah, he put that on Instagram.
It's a butterfly issue. Yeah. Let's go to Gary in Wooddale. Gary finished in 1920 on the near north side to help people, boats, and cars continue their ride. In 2010, the name would defer to Chicago's first resident and the seller of furs. What am I referring to?
DuSable.
Oh. Ding, ding, ding.
Justin, how did you know?
You must have done the same third grade project that I had to do with my son about Jean Saint DuSable.
That's how you knew?
Yeah.
Jean Baptiste.
Jean Baptiste, thank you. Yes, there's a whole controversy over. There's a lot that's into the story of DuSable.
Maybe DeCoste could write another riddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Congratulations, Gary. You're going to see the Hawks and the Carolina Hurricanes for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
Have a great time.
Gary.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. One kiss to kiss me good.
It's time now for more on entertainment. Sponsored by Your Name Here. I just noticed we don't have a sponsor right now. Why would any business not jump on this gem?
You can't put a price on this kind of quality.
Well, call our sales department. They're sober at this hour. And let's see if we can get in. So there's a delightful newsman named Dave Schwann who works with you on Sundays.
Schwanny.
He's delightful.
Very delightful.
And yesterday I'm listening to you. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm minding my own business.
Yep.
And I'm almost positive. And, you know, I mean, I was up late Saturday night, so maybe I was, you know, sleeping it off, a little groggy. But I'm almost positive. I heard you said you were going to shoot an apple off Schwanny's head.
That's right. Well, we do our annual holiday broadcast from Tree Time Christmas Creations mm-hmm. in Lake Barrington every year.
Yeah, I got no Robin Hood yet. Keep going.
We'll be out there on November 11th this year on Sunday morning from 9 to 1. And I was explaining to Schwanny and Andy Mazur how when I was just in Scotland recently, I learned that I'm actually pretty good at archery. They had like a little thing, you know, they had like medieval things set up for the journalists to, you know, take a little sample and have some fun. And they had falconry. You know falconry where you put on the big leather glove and a gigantic bird, not an eagle, but
a falcon?
Well, mine was actually a buzzard.
Oh.
I don't know why it's not called buzzardry. I guess falconry sounds a lot nicer. You know, climbs, you know, you have a little bait in your hand and the bird flies 100 feet or something and then lands right on your arm. And then we also did some archery. And it turns out I have some natural ability with archery.
So what were you shooting at?
I was shooting at a target.
Well, that's not a human being, is it?
But I was hitting bullseyes like crazy.
Is that right?
So I thought, what would be more entertaining for our radio audience out at Tree Time
than killing Schwanny?
Than putting an apple on his head and shooting the arrow right through the middle of the apple.
Was it William Penn?
Was
William
it William Penn?
Yeah.
William Tell. Yeah, and I thought Schwanny and maybe Andy Mazur had a life-saving suggestion where they said maybe he puts a pumpkin on his head. You know, gives him a better shot at surviving.
Takes all the fun out of it, in my opinion.
It does. Well, Andy, there's got to be that trust factor with Dean.
Yeah.
I mean, Dean's been hitting bullseyes, so an apple is bigger than a bullseye.
And this is a lifetime of work or one press junket?
What in regards to your archery experience? No, it was just one time.
Okay.
Schwanny says it was beginner's luck, but I'm telling you, I gravitated toward this archery I had been doing it all my life.
Now, let's say it doesn't go well. Who will do news on your show later?
Well, to me, here's how I look at it. I get off the air a little earlier than I had anticipated. You can look at a glass half empty.
I think that's reasonable.
Dean, when you were doing the archery, were you wearing some type of archery apparel, or were you in regular street clothes?
He was in a Robin Hood outfit.
Yeah, I just had
a tiny hat and a feather.
Just regular clothes on because I didn't know I was going to be doing archery. But I'm thinking if I can find it in Husky Big Boy sizes, I am going to.
Have you ever shot a bow and arrow before in any form?
When I was in Boy Scouts, when I was about 12 years old.
Seems like yesterday.
So I think
Hold on, I just texted Schwanny. I told him to quit today. When we come back, Dean has a Michael Bublé clip that I want to play.
Amazing clip.
And another rappers in politics. Iman is in the news, the great model married to David Bowie for all those years. And the highest paid actresses in television. Highest paid actresses in TV. Who are they? 708 texter. I hope Dean uses suction cup darts.
Mm-mm.
I was in a band called the Suction Cup Darts. You remember that band?
Again, takes the fun out.
Stand by now. More with Dean on Moron Entertainment. Coming up in just a second.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Dean, a couple of texters about your archery careers. 870, yep. I guess this proves Dean's not a fan of the far-flung forecast. It's a regular Schwanny feature.
Sure, that Schwanny does. Yes. It's my favorite thing on the show, actually.
Let's see. I have a solution. This is a 219. I have a solution to have Dean take a cardboard cutout of Schwanny to tree time, put an apple on top of the cutout. That, if he misses, no harm, no foul, no death.
Mm.
What did you see from an Uber driver?
630 said, this is great. 630 says, I'm an Uber driver, and I want to know that every morning at 8:15, I stop taking rides so I can listen to more entertainment.
That's nice. Wow. That's nice. That's very nice. All right, let's talk about this.
If he stops by the TV station, I'll put an apple on his head. There's a way of saying thank you.
Don't shoot the listeners and the viewers. What's wrong with you? Highest paid TV actresses.
A new survey is out by Forbes magazine.
Highest paid TV actress. I bet that Kelly Cuoco is right up there.
She's in the top five. She's number two with $24 million.
That's a pretty good year.
Any more guesses?
Do they even do 24 episodes?
I would say...
That's a long season.
No, they don't do 24 in a year.
Sofia Vergara?
Sofia Vergara is number one on the list.
Yes! Really? I thought it was Ellen Pompeo.
Who is number three on the list.
Look at you two.
From Grey's Anatomy.
Wow.
Sofia Vergara.
What type of money are we talking about?
$42 million for Sofia Vergara, including her endorsement deals.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask if it has the shampoo in there. So it does. It rolls in your...
$42 million. That's a pretty good year.
Yeah.
Mariska Hargitay is number four. Modern Family's Julie Bowen, number five.
What did Julie Bowen make?
She made $20 million.
Or as... the number one on the list likes to say, chump change.
Chump change.
She's come a long way since Happy Gilmore.
Wow, forgot about that.
Good reference. Yeah. Solid reference. How does that compare to the top paid men? Favorably? Similar?
Sofia Vergara and Sheldon.
Yeah, Parsons.
Yeah, Jim Parsons. They're pretty close to each other, like 42, 41 in that category. And then everyone else is actually about the same as well. The other actors on Big Bang Theory outside of Parsons also make about $24 million. But interestingly, the two other women on the show only made about $10 million. But compared to the other actors who made $20
million,
I think they're all pretty equal on the show. They should be making about the same.
They need an agent. Or an agent change, I should say. So
fairness in Hollywood.
Yeah. All of those things.
I only made $10 million.
All right. Now, Iman, married to David Bowie forever.
Yeah, like 21 years, I think it was.
She's a famous fashion model.
24.
Supermodel. She's really a supermodel. She's along with Cheryl Teagues and some of the early supermodels.
A super career all by herself. Way before she met David Bowie, but they were married for 24 years. He died of cancer in 2016. And over the weekend, Iman said in an interview that she doesn't think she'll ever marry again. She doesn't refer to Bowie as her late husband because he'll always be her husband.
Wow. Sweet, right?
She's still extremely uncomfortable with people sharing their condolences. Everyone grieves differently. And says that she cannot imagine herself having a relationship with another person.
Well, personal choices, right? Yeah. I mean, she certainly could have all the attention she wants.
Yeah,
so
everybody nice deals with it differently. I know plenty of people who were widowed or widowered and never remarried because they were with the loves of their lives.
You know, probably speaking out of school here a little bit, but my friend Pat Brady lost his wife, Julie. That's not the speaking out of school part, but this is a nice story, so I'm going to tell it anyway. If he's mad at me, I'll deal with that later. But he described his wife as, I won the lottery.
Yeah.
I won the lottery, so, that's what I did.
A lot of people feel that way.
So, all right. Michael Bublé and his wife have gone through a terrible situation.
A couple years, a little boy
dealing with cancer, right?
Two years ago, their then three-year-old son, Noah, was diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer, and it didn't look good at all. Michael Bublé has not really talked about this publicly at all. He appeared on this special that took place in the U.K. over the weekend, Stand Up to Cancer. Like we have one of those specials in the U.S.
Yep.
Theirs was over the weekend in the U.K., and he appeared with James Corden from The Late Late Show. They did one of those carpool karaoke's, typical carpool karaoke of singing and goofing around in the car. But then Michael Bublé, for about 7 minutes in this interview, opens up very emotionally about how difficult this time was, as any parent can imagine, having a three-year-old child who is given a diagnosis of a very rare and often fatal form of cancer.
You have a clip?
Yep.
Okay.
At first, it was just, it's too hard to talk about, man. Basically, they just said that it wasn't great, and so we just took it day by day, and... I'm not okay. My wife, honestly, when this all started, I became the strength to somehow pull us and lift us and to be positive and to... And when they got it out and the chemo was done and we were... They said, we did it, it's good, he's okay. I fell. I just fell. And my wife picks me up now. He's 5 years old, you know, and I say to him, because he loves Spider-Man, we love Spider-Man, and I always say to him, Spider-Man's amazing, Superman's amazing, but they're fake. They're not real. You're a superhero. You're my hero, my real superhero. Another
summer day. Wow.
Amazing.
Wow. Well, you know what a rock I am. I can't talk about what I just heard.
Yeah.
What a guy.
I've listened to that clip 4 or 5 times now, getting ready for TV and radio, and I choke up every time I hear it. I can't imagine a parent having to deal with something like that. Little Noah, by the way, is in remission, and he's doing great, but you can't imagine the hell that Michael Bublé and his wife and their other child, the whole family. He said that their whole family, not only their immediate family, but his family and her parents and family, all moved to Los Angeles to be near the children's hospital there where he was treated and given chemo and full treatment.
That's better or worse stuff, man. You take care of your family when you have to, and obviously they have to. You know, that's why the Van Houten family was on the other day again, who've lost two children to a very rare disease. I don't know how you put one foot in front of the other, let alone go out and do the work they're doing.
Yep.
These people are all heroes, and it's a club you never want to be a member of, but for any parent that's gone through a life scare with your kids or losing a child, God bless you. There's nothing else I can say but that.
Say a prayer for the continued good health of little Noah. And if you are moved by this, they are still taking donations, standupforcancer.org.
Okay.
To help other families who are going through this.
Back to the Archer before I let you go on the 219.
Glad I could cheer up the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to go out on this important note.
I know.
From the 219, this is if Dean does an archery exhibition at the Tree Time Live Remote on November 11th, where he would shoot an apple off Newsman Schwani's head from the Sunday show. The texter from the 219 says, Dean, if it bleeds, it leads. This is a good way for you to make feeders column.
That's right.
If we Rob happen, Feeder, if you're listening, stand by for Dean to shoot an apple off his head.
If we happen to get a little ratings boost out of the whole thing.
That's the positive.
So be it.
Thank you, buddy.
See
you. 831 headlines next, 720 WGN.
How do you get over by Maz?
Cicero up to Silky Boulevard. When you get up to the old Orchard Shopping Center, you make a right-hand turn.
All right, Vito, let me tell you.
Wait. Would it be a shopping center or a mall?
No, shopping center, Cochran. Favorite actor, Benny. Favorite drink, Old Bulls. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls. Play a little poker. Spend time with the wife. Take her out to Bennigan's. See if they cook chops right. Go and get a laser disc. Projection screen TV. Portillo's Italian beef. And a movie star, Tommy B. Back in the damn Buick. Cut on WCKG. Caught a song by Glenn Frey and an interview with Dennehy. So I'm driving down Western Ave. Think I'm gonna stop at Zayers. Got a splitting freaking headache. So I popped a couple bears. So I'm back in the damn Buick. Think I need an oil check. The baddest of George Thorogood. Smoke stalks on my deck.
I can just listen to it all day. Bears and all day.
Serengeti in the song Denny. How about Mitch Trubisky's Dick outfit yesterday for Halloween?
Yeah, strong.
That reminded me much of the Chicago Accent Challenge. Seeing that look with that sweater vest and the aviators.
Well, and a tip to the history, to the legacy.
Yeah,
and then they didn't show it on TV, but you know that Care Bear family that was there? He told them all to go take a flying leap, which was very Ditka as well.
He threw his gum at him.
312-981-7200. Do you think you have a Chicago accent? Now's the time to jump in. All right. What about this live show?
All right. So the Chicago Podcast Festival is coming up, I think, in December. Yeah, December 2nd. It's a Sunday night at the Chicago Theater Works on Belmont. The Chicago Accent Challenge is something we've been doing for about a year. Each winner, if you win the challenge on the day of, 312-981-7200, you get a free Malnati's pizza. But you also get entered into the grand prize event, which is to be on stage in a blood sport-like tournament for Chicago Accents, which will be
taking no prisoners.
No prisoners, and the grand prize is $333.
What's the best Chicago accent, like, of a known person in town?
I will say, I saw the Netflix show. They're doing the 90s, the 90s documentary series. They have a bunch of episodes about music culture. Yeah. They did TV, and Dennis Franz, who was the NYPD Blue star.
Yeah.
He's the enforcer on NYPD Blue, as if he's a longtime New Yorker, and he has the strongest Chicago accent. And
you know where that's shown off really well? Die Hard 2. Hard 2 in the airport in Washington he's yelling at Bruce Willis. He sounds like he's over by there.
He's over by there.
The late Dennis Farina also had a good Chicago accent.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the go-to. Farina, Franz. You might get something out of a Joe Mantegna. Might give you
the best.
Might give you one.
You want to see if Nancy's viable?
Yeah, let's do it. 312-981-7200. Let's get some people on the line. We'll start with Nancy. Nancy, welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge.
Thank you.
So do people say, hey, Nancy, where is that accent from? You have such a Chicago accent.
All the time. I was out in California, and I ordered a scotch on the rock. And the girl stood there and looked at me, and I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "I don't know what racks are."
Scotch on a rack.
Scotch on a rack.
That's a big part of the Chicago accent. Ted McClellan wrote the book, How to Speak Midwestern, which this actually comes out of. And the elongated vowel, the rah, ah, the long rocks.
Nancy.
You got it.
Nancy wants racks.
All right, Nancy, let's ask a couple questions. See, where are you from? What parish are you from?
I'm from St. Joe's in Downers Grove.
Downers Grove. Okay. There you go.
But I was from Our Lady of Charity in Cicero.
Yep. There you go. It's always, you can always sort of trace people back to the Cicero area. We were talking about that Milwaukee Avenue and Harlem show up in everybody's directions. Yeah. But let me start with you, Nancy. Nancy, I'll ask this question first. welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yes, I'd like a hot dog and a root beer.
Root beer.
That's good. That's good.
Strong.
All right, and I'll ask you the question, too. How do you get over by Maz?
Oh, well, you take Harlem Avenue up to down to 63rd, and then you drive west on 63rd to, First Avenue. To Plainfield and Plainfield Inn.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard enough. I still have a couple.
Does every ma live off Harlem? Is that the deal?
Isn't that pretty amazing? All right.
She's pretty good.
You're very good. And just because of Mitchell Trubisky yesterday doing the Chicago Bears, the Mike Ditka impression or the Halloween costume, what's your favorite Mike Ditka quote?
I'm sorry, I can't remember.
It's okay. That's a very specific question, but
call us back when it hits you.
I think the answer is get your mouth shut.
I was going to say that has to be multiple choice.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Here's your IQ, buddy.
Here's your IQ, buddy.
Get your mouth shut. Here's your IQ, buddy. And what's a third?
Your third could be come visit my condo resort. Here's buy my ribs, and there's some some older male pills you might be interested in.
And he and Johnny Bench with the arthritis stuff. Yeah.
So great. All right, Nancy, that was awesome. Thank you.
All right, Nancy. All right. Sounds like you're a qualifier.
Nancy is she hits it with the long A and she got Harlem and Milwaukee.
Man, she's from the burbs.
Can they Instagram you or send you like something social media wise? Give you a submission that way?
They could do Twitter. They could do at Justin Kaufman or at Cochran Show. They could also do it on Facebook through the Cochran Show page if you want to get in. I mean, there's the fun part about the Chicago Accent Challenge is that it's part, you know, getting to know your accent, but also you have to know a little bit about Chicago history. You know, like there's some questions in here that we've got about your Chicago history.
Right, of course.
That you've got to get to as well.
All right, we're running out of time, but let's do one more.
All right, let's do.
I got D for you from the West Loop.
All right.
And let's go to D.
D, welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, like pretty good. I'm good. Where are you, what part of what parish are you from, D?
I'm from St. Barnabas on the south side.
Okay. And where'd you grow up?
I grew up in St. Denis on the south side.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you got south side. So people say you got a Chicago accent?
Yes. Okay. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
She's begrudgingly participating.
Be proud of it.
Here,
yeah, why are you not proud of it?
I hate the way I sound. I hate it.
No. I think you sound lovely.
All right. Okay, let's get to the questions, D. D, welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
I'll have a hot dog with onions and mustard.
It's pretty strong.
It is pretty strong.
It is.
What do you call the area between two houses? The little area,
It's gangway.
All right, gangway. So you got that down. And what do you call the room that's in the front of your house that nobody ever uses?
The front room.
Oh, my gosh.
Bang.
D is the
bang. Bang.
Yeah. Yep.
You might as well just send her the check for $333.
No, $333.
Okay, D, I have a couple more questions here. How do you get over by Maz?
How do I get to Maz? Well, Maz's gone now, but I used to drive.
Okay, well, what was
in my car, idiot.
And the directions when you had to go over by Maz?
Oh, the direction to Maz? Well, let's see. From where I live now, she would have been northwest. Northwest, if you really want to know.
Yeah, northwest?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Okay. And do you have a particular Mike Ditka quote or moment that you hold dear?
Oh, geez. Well, I was at Ryan's Bar on 95th Street during the big game in 85.
Uh-huh.
But an actual quote, I hate to say it. No, I don't.
No, it's okay. But as long as you have history with Mike Ditka, that's honoring the
Bears
costume.
By the way, D, Greg just texted the correct quote is Ditka holding up his fingers to form a zero and saying, that's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
You're right, good. D, you're very good. Hold on.
Even though she didn't have a Ditka quote, the geez was perfect.
Ah, geez.
Well, you got Nancy from Downers Grove, and you got D from the West Loop. Why don't we start with Mary? Mary, what do you like? Mary Vandevelt, why don't we start?
Can you only take one?
Do you like Nancy or D?
Oh, man, they were both really strong.
They really were.
Like Sophie's Choice.
I don't know. I can't decide.
Yeah, I like them both. I got to go D.
Yeah? I like Nancy. She had the aunt. She had Scotch
I like
the
that,
rocks.
Yeah. She was in California, and they're like, what a rack.
I do like the Scotch and the Rocks.
Yeah, what do you
I'm
think,
a Scotch drinker.
I go with Nancy.
Tough. Yeah, I'm going to go with Nancy.
You guys are all Nancy.
Yeah. D was strong. Even though she didn't want to. It's almost like somebody said, you better call in, and she reluctantly.
Which is a very Chicago thing to do.
Yeah.
To participate reluctantly.
You better
can we get both?
Take both down.
I say take
all
both.
All right.
Take
what
both.
Do you think, Joe? Super
well, we
Joe.
Can have a showdown
can we do
later.
Both? We got take enough Melnotties to give them both?
Yes, of course.
All
we'll
right.
Find
there
more.
It is. D and Nancy, co-winners.
Congratulations.
Get that information. They have not only won Lou Melnotti's pizza gift cards today, but they will be entered into the grand prize of getting their chance to put their accent on display live for $333.
You know what else we should give them? They're each going to get a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree. Come by Tree Time Christmas
Creations. Hey, come on, look at my tree.
On Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
It's a good tree.
To pick out a team, the team theme of your choice while supplies last. So they seem kick off Halloween with a Christmas tree.
Texture says it's French room. French.
Yeah,
French.
Technically you say front room.
Front room, that's it.
Yeah.
Mary, is it tree or three? I don't what.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Is it an artificial tree?
It's an artificial tree.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Plane crash off the coast of Jakarta, Indonesia, where all on board are believed to have died. And Steve has that and the rest of the news coming up here in just a few minutes, including the continued fallout from just a bizarre, dangerous, scary few days that the president has not only not helped, he's made worse. A couple of frivolous topics, if you will. Did anybody notice Jimmy Kimmel and Matt Damon sitting together at the World Series last night?
Yes.
Each with "I'm with stupid" shirts with arrows pointing at each other.
I did. Jimmy Kimmel also, earlier in the day, made homemade bagels.
He's a really good cook.
Yeah, somebody gifted it as a present,
mm-hmm.
and so they like boiled and baked them, and they looked amazing.
My friend Bill Zemi, you know, the czar of pop culture, is friends with Kimmel, has been to his home for dinner many times, and apparently he's got a giant, what's the giant stone pizza oven? Is there a name for that thing? You know, like,
yeah, right.
Stone pizza.
It's a stone pizza.
There you go, Mayor.
He has one of those, along with a lot of other cool things at his super cool house. What about the Megyn Kelly story? We haven't talked about that at all, and we don't have a whole bunch of time, as usual. But does she work again?
Is she out at NBC? Did that happen?
I don't think she's technically
finalizing the deal.
Out.
Yeah.
Finalizing.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that she would have a home in some networks if she had thought to return.
Yeah, where's she going to go, though?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I could see her fitting in with Fox News as to go back. I don't know. Obviously, she left on bad terms there. But I also think that there seems to be an appetite for partisan-type journalism and broadcast news. So there are places for those kind of journalists and broadcasters to go back to.
Let me throw this out. NBC puts her on election night.
Yeah.
The last hurrah or a reinvention? Now, you may have a problem with all the other people on election night, from our friend Chuck Todd to Lester Holt to everybody else. But that's who she is. That's where she got her chops, and that's why Fox, she's a star on Fox, and that's what had her interested. You're paying her anyway. Put her on election night.
I saw so many memes this weekend of things Megyn Kelly has said before on Fox that mm-hmm. probably would have gotten her fired in this NBC, this new world in 2018. So I know that she made her money and she was obviously a big star at Fox, but I don't know if I would want her to be the person giving me my election results on election night.
Well, you're probably not alone in that.
It's like, yeah.
But having said that, I think that would be a gutsy move by NBC. And let's be honest, NBC fired her because they wanted to fire her, and she gave them the last
just
bit that
of
they
a
needed.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not sure her. I thought her apology was fine. I'm a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I read a thing about how they were. She wasn't a good fit, and they were just waiting.
They wanted a reason to end that show.
Yeah, and the ratings were pretty bad on that show.
My sister is the only person watching, I think. My sister watched it every day.
And your sister's angry?
She's very upset about the show going away. And she liked it because there wasn't politics on it. That
and
was her.
I'm wondering now, are they going to bring the drunk ladies back? Because that was kind of a fun show.
Wasn't it? It was Roker and Tamron Hall, wasn't that? Didn't they do that hour?
They're not the drinkers.
But wasn't that the hour that got blown up for Megyn Kelly?
I thought it was the drinking ladies.
No, the drinking ladies are still there.
They're still on.
They're still there.
Oda and Kathy. So they were on after Megyn Kelly?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know. I mean, they're drunk. You know, they probably just wandered in and out of sets all the time.
I mean, it's good, clean fun. Who doesn't want to have a glass of wine at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Dave?
Yeah, you ever walk through the newsroom in the morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Kozanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
I got it. I'm Pat Stitt.
Kyle, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi to everybody on CLTV. Thanks for watching. And everybody listening, thank you very much, as always. It's an honor unbefitting me. Unbefitting? Not fitting me? What's it? Hard to believe I was an English student.
Not befitted?
Not befitted of me.
You're not fit for that honor.
I'm not fit for the show. That's my point, really. And to a larger degree. Dave, I had a conversation in the hallway a moment ago. You're going to Italy when?
June.
Next June.
What? June 16th, I believe, is the date.
And what kind of trip is this?
We're going to go to the northern part. We're going to start in Rome, a couple of days there.
Okay.
And then we have a great itinerary, which will take us to Florence. And I don't have it entirely in front of me.
All them Italian places?
A lot of Italian. We're going to Cinque Terre.
I don't know what that is.
It's a number of villages on these hillsides.
How
right?
continental
on,
of one, you.
It's very you go do some hiking there. Ah. It's supposed to be beautiful, wonderful food.
Can you hire someone else to help to hike for you after you've had too much pasta? Do they have hireable hikers?
I think they do. I think they do. We'll figure that out. All of the information is available at SteveBertrandTravel.com.
So you and a bunch of listeners and your wife?
Yes.
Good.
Sounds Why like were you
trip.
Talking about it in the hallway? Were you talking about Dave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of conversations with Dave.
Are you and Maureen thinking about going with them?
Not this trip.
Okay.
No, but
Steve is.
Yeah. He's going as the third wheel. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Bertrand.
No, Steve Cochran.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, normally I hang around with you and your husband, Pat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are busy that week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go? Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
no,
Joe's Italian, so that makes sense.
Yeah, Joe's my plus one and my thug. Both of those. At 9:13, we have to say happy anniversary to the United Way. 50 fabulous years. And Gloria Castillo is here. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Let me get your microphone on. That might be helpful. How are you?
I'm doing well. By the way, it's Chicago United.
Yes.
And we're celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Yeah, the United Way itself is how old?
But not the United Way, so it's a different organization.
What is the United Way? I'm stuck on United Way.
Yeah,
it's a great organization.
Yeah, that word.
Yeah, it's not as good as Chicago United. I think that's my larger point. Chicago United is so much better than United Way. That's what I was trying to point out.
It's a little different, that's for sure.
Chicago United is an organization celebrating their 50th anniversary. You have dedicated your work to putting more in diverse workforces, meaning more people that are representative of minority communities, communities of color that are at corporate boards, that are in executive management, other places in the private and public sectors, but mostly private businesses here in Chicago. Why is that an issue? And why is that something that needs to have a 50-year anniversary in Chicago?
Well, first, I think from the 50-year perspective, it was about leadership. It was about corporate leaders who understood that if Chicago was going to be a great place to work and live, everyone had to have opportunity. So from a historic perspective, that's what was important. But today, the reason why we continue to drive that is we know that opportunity is important to everyone. It strengthens the entire city, the economic fabric of the city. From a business perspective, the CEOs care about business performance. And what we see is a growing body of research that tells us when you have high-performing, diverse teams, you financially outperform your peers. So it's really a business imperative. It's while it is a great thing to do, the right thing to do, it's the business thing to do.
Diversity and inclusion were not something that was talked about regularly 50 years ago. So we've made a lot of strides. Where are we?
Well, we've certainly made progress. So 50 years ago, the corporate leaders were really just opening up job opportunities in the corporate sphere. Today, we really are looking at how are we doing in leadership? Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to advance as you move up the ladder in corporate Chicago all the way to the boardroom. Chicago is doing well, but we are not leading in terms of the nation. So if you look at the top 50 corporations in Chicago, according to our research, we have about 15% diversity on our corporate boards of directors versus the Fortune 100, who have about 17.5%. So
is that close? I mean, it sounds close numerically, but is it reasonably close in the real world?
It is reasonably close, for sure. But I think...
But always room for improvement.
Room for improvement. And Chicago has really a wealth of talent. And so I think that's where we want to look at, are we really leveraging the talent in Chicago to its maximum benefit?
Is the diversity, the 15 and whatever the other percentage was, does that reflect the diversity as a city or the what is our diversity numbers? Mm-hmm. And then who are those leaders, you know?
Right. Well, in Chicago, we actually have a stronger level of diversity. So you have about, you know, if you think about rough numbers, about a third African American, about a third Latino, a third white. So we are lagging relative to our demographics. That said, there are a lot of really good things going on in Chicago. And we did see in our research, in our Inside Inclusion publication, between 2016 and 2018, about a 5% increase in diversity in executive level talent. So there is movement.
What do you attribute that to? The time marching on and us getting smarter?
Chicago United, probably.
There you go, chicago-united.org.
Well, some of it is actually Chicago United. When we look at the top 50 and we look at the companies who are members of Chicago United, they actually do have stronger representation in their senior level ranks and on their boards of directors. So there is some correlation.
There's been a lot made in Springfield in government ranks about diversity and inclusion. We've seen a want to change the culture. Some will point to a misogynistic culture, culture that was written, the rules written by men hundreds of years ago. Is it the same in corporate America, where one of the reasons you don't have as much executive management or corporate boards is because that when those businesses were founded, whenever there was a code and the rules written by white men?
Well, certainly. You have, in some companies, a very long-standing culture. And, change management is difficult under any circumstances, in any set of data that you're trying to change, if you're trying to move something along. It's always tough. But what I would say is, in the business community, when you have senior-level leadership who are committed to inclusion and they drive that through their organization, they are in better control of that. So I think that's why you're seeing corporate America taking the lead. And you're seeing a movement with corporate CEOs. CEO Actions for Diversity and Inclusion is one of the initiatives that we'll be honoring at our 50th anniversary dinner. You have over 500 CEOs across the country who have committed to intentional action towards inclusion. And they're doing that because it is good for their business. It's good for the culture of their organization. And it actually provides better opportunities for everyone in their organization.
Sabra?
Does diversity and inclusion address sex as well, or is it just ethnicity?
At Chicago United, because our historic mission is around race and ethnicity, that's where we remain focused. But when corporate leaders talk about diversity and inclusion, they really are talking about race, gender, ability, veteran status. So we're really trying to look at a much broader array of
what diversity means.
Exactly.
Right.
So talent doesn't care what color you are. Talent is talent, right? So what do you say to people listening now who are going, I would love to move more people of color up in my organization? I can't find folks in particular for what I'm doing, that type of thing. What should they do?
Well, first of all, I think there is truth. Talent is talent, and we need to have a set of competencies that allow you to move talent forward. And it's one of the things that we do is inclusion is actually a competency. And so very often there are people in the organization, if we don't mix culturally, you might not think I'm talented. Mm-hmm. But if we have more objective standards to the competencies, you would find that there's greater talent in the organization. And if we spend a little more time getting to know each other, it actually works out best.
Got a party coming up, don't you?
We do, and I love a good party. So it is on November 2nd, this Friday, at the Chicago Hilton. It's our 50th anniversary gala. There'll be wonderful people there.
Are United Way people welcome as well?
You know what? Actually, they are. And in fact, a number of our members are involved in the United Way.
It's chicago-united.org. Can we get tickets there?
Yes, absolutely. And we are welcoming the public. It'll be a great celebration.
Thanks for coming over. I appreciate the work you're doing. And if people want to contact your folks directly, website, best way to go?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm available.
Your website an outlet for young people? Because one thing about getting to that level of being included,
gotta get in.
You got to know it's an option on the young end for you to work up to that.
Actually, we've just launched an initiative called the Corporate Inclusion Institute, and it really is about advancing young, diverse talent in corporate Chicago. So we're really thrilled about that. So there'll be more information on the website.
Great.
And there's a thing called Five Forward about minority business development, which is an important program.
It really is. What I would say to all of Chicago is, developing larger minority businesses actually creates jobs in communities of color. So if we want our entire business ecosystem to be strong, we can't have a weak link.
I almost feel like if I ever had you in a courtroom and you were a witness, there'd be no way of cracking you. You're really good. Really good.
I've been doing this for 15 years, and I love it.
Well, good for you. It's got to be fun getting up and help changing the world.
It's rewarding, and particularly on a day like today when we all want to see inclusion and peace.
No kidding. Gloria Castillo, Chicago-United.org.
Yes.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Gloria.
Thanks so much.
Make America vote again today.
Let's give away all these Mava hats.
Mava, vote today and tomorrow.
What size head do you have?
Mava, come on.
Make America vote again. Very exclusive hat. Call Super Joe and tell him you want one. And we have exciting news. We have at least two people on the show who have early voted. Sandra, you voted a week ago?
I voted on the 22nd.
Okay, and then Pete, are you normally an early voter?
I have been an early voter these last few years.
How was the experience?
It was easy breezy.
No issues whatsoever.
No issues whatsoever. Saturday morning at about 9 o'clock, walked into my little polling place.
You and your wife, Molly.
Me and my wife. It was at the Edgewater Library on Broadway, and I was a little upset there was not a lot of signage.
You had to look around a little bit.
And like the woman at the counter, the library.
The voter lady?
No, I think this was just a library person. She didn't offer. She didn't say, like, you know, voting upstairs.
Right.
She
just got it.
You know.
She just yelled at you about what you could look at on the computer.
Right. But yeah, no problem. And, I'm not one to make bits, you know, like Justin,
I'm a big voter. Yeah.
We went in and we saw a friend of ours in line.
Oh.
And my wife started chatting her up. And I was like,
don't talk.
No, like,
don't talk. Let's vote. Pay attention.
And there was a pretty long line. I was,
that's great.
It hadn't been like that in recent early voting.
I'm thinking about just going out and mixing with some of the early voters, and then when I'm next in line, just walking out.
Yeah.
Sleeping so I can vote on
like
election.
Camaraderie.
Did you feel good, though? You felt good when you voted?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I took a picture for Instagram, and actually, I took it on Saturday. We voted on Saturday. I took it on Saturday. I wasn't quite happy with the Instagram photo.
So you went back and voted again?
So I really had to take off my wristband very carefully as to preserve it for the following day when I did a better
continuity. Continuity director. How about that?
Yeah.
I would say, after my voting experience, I was happy to have it over with, but I didn't feel totally great.
Fulfilled?
Well, because...
Had to make a lot of tough choices.
Not a lot of... There's some things that aren't going to get fixed with this round of voting, so I was kind of like, But... You still have to do it, but it wasn't like elation, like, wow, this is going to be amazing.
See, that's one of the problems we have is because we live in an instant gratification society. Netflix, I got an hour, show me something entertaining. What happens at the end of the hour? I feel better. You can't fix the big problems in 4 years or 8 years, but you got to start working on them. You can't keep putting it off. That's why it's so important to vote. So let me throw out a few more resources here. If you don't know where and when to vote, every state in the union, all 57 of them, go to vote411.org, put your address in, and you'll be good to go with where and when you vote, including early voting. Who are your reps and how do they vote on things? VoteSmart.org. VoteSmart.org. You put in your address again. It'll tell you who your reps are. You click on the rep, and it'll show you how they vote on various things. Because if you're a one-issue voter, that'll matter. If you're a straight party ticket voter, which I don't always recommend, and I certainly don't know, there's problems on both sides, to use the Trumpism. VoteSmart.org. You want to dig deeper with more research? Go to BallotReady.org. And if you want to know how Donald Trump and your reps do, the project.538.com/Congress-Trump will post the link. But essentially, it's the easiest way to describe it is Nate Silver's 538 website has tracked how every member of Congress has voted with or against Donald Trump. So that's a lot of resources.
Pete, were there a lot of people outside of the polling place handing out flyers?
There were none.
None.
No.
So they don't employ the to give the $15 to the person to hand out flyers in front of the polling.
No, there was
early.
None. In fact, I was concerned. I was like, is this the right spot?
Because there weren't any.
Because I didn't see.
Because that's
how
anything. I vote, Steve. Whoever gives me the flyer, the last flyer I receive.
Is it the coolest flyer or just the last one?
No, it's the last one, so the closest to the door.
What about quality of donuts at the polling place? Does that matter to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. quality of free stuff.
Having early voted, I know a lot of people don't like to early vote. You know, they haven't made up their mind, perhaps. But I know Mary mentioned this last week, too. It was nice actually watching the Bears game and, like, knowing that I don't have to pay attention to these commercials or anything. The noise.
I really have never wanted to be aggravated by the process more than this year. I want to go on Election Day. I want the line to be long. I want people to be grumbling. I want there to be a lot of people in there that make it a really long, miserable process, because that means people are involved.
Me too. I just want to experience it on the day of.
Because the midterms could almost be a drive-by in most years. I am counting on 60% showing up.
There you go.
And by the way, you don't have to pay attention to those spots during the Bears game.
I don't.
Whether or not you voted early or not.
That's fair point.
I get up and do something. Never sit there.
Well, thank you for voting. And Mary, thank you for voting. And we'll get to it. But not until Election Day.
I hope nothing comes up.
That's a good point.
I hope you don't have all of a sudden you find yourself in the emergency room on Election Day and think, oh, I had all those weeks to pre-vote.
That's a fair point. Traffic, too. You got traffic.
You never know. Why put off till tomorrow?
I don't know why it has to be today. I don't know why it has to be an emergency room. Why couldn't I just be in traffic? It's 9:32. Headlines in a moment on 720 WGN. Wow, what an odd time to hit puberty. The legendary Ro Khan is here.
Hello.
Hi, Ro.
Hello, Steve.
I'm already upset with you, and we haven't even started talking yet.
Wow.
Stephanie, our delightful boss here, one of our delightful bosses, one of the main ones. Stephanie is costume crazy.
Yeah.
And Stephanie wants all the shows to dress up for Halloween photos.
She's festive.
And the Halloween photos, Sandberg, for us are going to be what?
We are going to be mermaid and mermen, and some of you are going to be sea creatures.
And I'm going to be King Triton because King Triton. Wing looks, or the wig looks so hot on me.
Okay.
So I just heard an off-air conversation. Your show's not dressing up?
I am not aware.
Every party needs a pooper. That's why we invited Ro.
I am not aware of us dressing up. I know that there is a party on Wednesday here. I am unfortunately, I've got to go do Wendy C Live, so I can't do that. I will be in full.
So you're going as you.
Disney-fied makeup. They do this every year at Wendy C Live. They bring in the Disney people from Anaheim.
Okay.
And they come in and they do this whole thing with us where they transform everybody. And
who are you going to be? Do you know?
We're not allowed to say.
Oh.
Mm. Little Mermaid again?
Yeah.
That would be really funny.
I really like to drag it up during Halloween.
Moana? You'd be a hot Moana.
Moana is no longer politically correct. None of the Disney characters are anymore.
You know, the actress who plays Moana came out and said, let's get serious. If little girls want to dress up like Moana, they ought to be able to dress up like Moana. I mean, it's hard to argue with that theory.
Yeah.
That's true. But I
don't. So when you come back for your radio show on Wednesday, which is still the 31st.
Yeah.
It's still Halloween.
Yeah.
You are not aware of any Stephanie-required costumes that you're going to have to put on?
It's going to change the morning show meeting today. It's going to be ugly.
I think when we say required, I'm not quite sure. I'll check the paperwork that I've signed, but I'm not sure any of that's required. I, however, I will not be able to get out in time of what I'm wearing.
That's so you're going to come over in your Disney costume?
I think I'm unfortunately going to be in my Disney costume.
Unfortunately, some version it there. That way.
Well, I can take the body part off. I don't think I'll get the head part off. That's going to be a problem.
Right, right, right.
Then maybe Stephanie is planning costumes for the rest of your team on the Ro Khan show to go around your Disney costume.
You never know. She's quick. She's very strategic. You know, there's a great...
I don't know what's required. You know, I got to be honest. I don't know. I might be the oldest guy here.
No.
That'd
be Dave.
Dave Ennis is the same age as my parents. So.
Okay. Wow.
Thanks to Chicago Costume for our costumes
really
in advance.
Really
we could not wait to wear
I was just trying to be honest.
Yeah. I don't. I didn't like it back when I was a kid. Let alone now.
What'd you dress up with as a kid?
Show of hands of people who actually like Halloween now as adults or as kids.
You know how I feel about this. This holiday has been stolen by adults. Mm-hmm. This should be a children's holiday where the kids go to sleep. The dads take the good candy. The kids wake up the next day. You go. You still have candy. I don't know what you're talking about. You're drunk on sugar, and life moves on. This should not be an adult holiday.
It has been stolen by adults for the purposes only of sex. I've decided that the idea is
drinking
that,
and sex.
Right. Is that you go to a party, you put on a costume, it's all of a sudden, it's all eyes wide shut. Nobody knows what anything is. You end up in a pile of coats in somebody else's bedroom.
What kind of Halloween party are you going to?
Every single one I've been to is like this.
Like you turn in your keys and stuff, it sounds like.
Right. Well, sort of, I don't know. Oh, is that, did I come with that person? I don't remember. It's Moana. I don't know. Next thing you know, I think it's all about that sort of. You know,
I haven't heard your show in a couple of days. Sounds like it's changed. Is this the cable version?
I can guarantee there's going to be no sex or drinking during the morning show on the 31st, as we're mermaid and mermen.
No, that's absolutely true.
My wife makes me do, we do family costumes. So we go as a trio, and we'll go trick-or-treating in the neighborhood. And all the other parents I see all year long at the school and everything, they all give a little side eye of judgment.
Miles is not going to keep doing that for a while.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, this might be the last year.
Did you? Like at the Bears game yesterday, those people that were all wearing the onesies?
Right. Yeah. You know what? Did we get any calls about that or texts? Nobody is really to out him. See if you can find him this afternoon, because I was looking for him today. I wanted the Swiss Family Care Bears to come on the show and talk about themselves, because Jim Nance could not have been more fascinated.
My guess is they were playing.
I think we know
CBS.
This. That Jim Nance is, in fact, a furry. So that's how we know that. Yeah.
Hey, there's a story that I believe to be true, and frankly, I don't care if it's not, about a guy that used to run Channel 7 that involves costumes and Disney. Mm-hmm. And I'm forgetting his name. He does wonderful work with the police organization.
Joe Ahern,
when he left Channel 7, went to Disney Europe or something. In the process of that, he had to go through the park training, and all the high executives, the vice presidents, the big shots at Disney, have to work all the regular jobs. So as the story goes, and I've heard this from many sources, I don't care if it's true or not. As the story goes, he's working one of the Disney parks, and he's in the Beauty and the Beast costume. This is right at the height of the Beauty and the Beast phase. Just a craze about Beauty and the Beast. So he has to come out, and they have those little autograph books. So the little kids have the autograph books. Oh, it's the Beast. Will you sign this? And it's a little kid with the mom. And hands the Beast, Joe Ahern, the autograph book. And Joe Ahern writes, "Best wishes, Joe Ahern."
I don't know if that's true.
Show business.
I would say this, that he wouldn't deny it, but I don't know if it's true.
It's a great story. It's a great story. Doesn't matter if it's true.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Under the sea. Darling,
we have an election in a week. And over the weekend, there was a controversy, or wasn't there? We don't have time to do this appropriate service, but I sense a good argument coming on. And why would I pass that up? So the Governor Pritzker to be campaign had a couple of people who did what, Justin?
Well, there were two kids in their 20s who worked on the weekend. The Pritzker campaign was quick to point that out.
The weekenders, they're all like Lou Manfredini.
They had put up on Instagram a picture of one of the men in a beauty mask, a charcoal beauty mask, what you might see out of the Proactive commercials that run nonstop. And
as a Halloween costume?
No, just as they were wearing it. I think they had a little heart and said psycho, and I think it was more about this guy wearing this mask. It was pointed out that was racially insensitive with all the blackface stuff that was happening around Megyn Kelly. The office of the Pritzker campaign agreed. They suspended these kids without pay, and then they ultimately fired them Friday night.
Overreaction or fair? 1 minute.
Well, since it really is about skin care as opposed to racial dynamics, I think they just didn't want to explain it. It is unfair because they didn't want to explain it.
1,000%. They didn't want to explain it because in this environment, there's no way to explain that and have people go, "Oh, okay, I'm good with it then."
Right. If there's any... It's a social... Not a crime, but any social crime. I put it more on the Pritzker camp only for the fact that this is a long... They've had a tough road of questions around their relationships with race, and you saw it with the Reader. You saw it as well with the lawsuit just recently. So if anything, the kids are guilty of associating themselves with a campaign that really couldn't have this on their watch.
Because. Very jujitsu of you. I like
yeah,
the way
just because they couldn't do it because they're like, we already have four strikes. We can't have a fifth strike. Yeah. So they fired these kids because of the Pritzker camp and his perceived.
I do have to say, that, you know, these kids, I'm sure, are wonderful kids. I don't know how, if you pay any attention to the news, including your internets, all of them, that you wouldn't have known about the Megyn Kelly story and known about the sensitivity and thought, maybe I don't post this picture.
Kids do it all the time. It's a thing to put.
Wasn't it posted prior to the Megyn Kelly thing, though?
I don't know. I haven't dug that deep on it.
This was sitting on the internet.
It's just, okay. I don't know. Mary will
there's two actions. In politics right now, there's two answers to anything.
That's good.
A long explanation that loses and, no, I didn't.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Or what about?
What about?
Yes. Starts, what about? So that's your theory. Have fun today. See you at 3.
Thanks.
Bill and Wendy are here. What about you guys? What about us? You got a show uniform?
Not a show
costume?
Oh, a costume?
For Halloween?
We don't partake.
I will be
How
dressed.
Is this optional?
Yeah, I don't understand why it's optional.
Oh.
Well, what do you mean?
You guys are the morning show. It's important that the morning show
we got
dresses for Halloween.
Dress.
I hate Halloween.
Me too.
Couldn't you dress up as someone who hates Halloween then?
That's me. Look.
We've always had to come up with a theme on the morning show for some reason.
A theme?
Dave, we used to do themes, remember?
We were Gilligan's Island one year.
The Flintstones?
Hey, little buddy.
Flintstones. That was good.
The Game of Thrones.
Why don't you guys do Captain and Tennille?
Yeah, that was the best year
for Halloween or just in general?
No, in general.
In general?
No,
let's do it November 1st.
All right. That's fine.
I'm going to tell Stephanie on both of you. I'm going to tell Stephanie you two and Rhoda want to play.
Steve is making a play for mandatory costumes for everybody.
For everybody?
He's got to do it. Everybody's
got to do it. Everybody's got to
well,
do it.
Well, I showed Stephanie's one of our bosses, for people who don't know, my sexy lollipop costume.
Yeah, the one that you
costume.
Blow up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she said I couldn't wear the sexy lollipop costume. It was too controversial. So I'm out.
Yeah, I understand. But there are other costumes.
He doesn't have any other ones.
Just a sexy lollipop.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was going to tell you to have a good show, but now I hope your show's terrible.
What? Oh. Rats.
See you tomorrow.